for today. I've left myself about 25 minutes. So we trust that the Lord will speak to us. What does a pastor preach on the first Sunday of the year? And I just want to take this opportunity to thank those that looked after the church while we were gone and the services. Dave, Shirley, thank you for being here. Ryan, thank you for preaching. I could go on holiday and know everything was in safe hands. The only thing that wasn't in safe hands was the garden. It doesn't look too good, but we'll sort that out. And it's been very dry. But coming back to focus, what does a pastor preach about on the first Sunday of the year? Years gone by, we would have had a midnight service on the 31st. Cheryl and I understood what that was like, dragging our little ones out at midnight. Not so practical. But today is that day. Today is the day we're going to speak about how do I lay the foundation for this year? What has Jesus, what has Father God got for me as I go into this new year, 2018? Now, I know that for Christian Heritage, he's got a vision for us. He's got a vision that we take the city. This is nothing new. This is something that has been building. I believe there'll be a huge focus on it in this year, and I believe it will not stop at the end of the year. I believe it'll be a continual work because we are going to be a church of irresistible influence. And it's one of my dreams, and I believe our dreams for this church, that we will be that church that makes a difference in this city. And we will focus on it. Yes, I like that, amen. You can say that. Even if you're a visitor, you can say amen. This is a town that needs Jesus Christ. We are a people that need Jesus Christ. But what shall I say to you? How do we lay the foundation for this year? Well, there's only one foundation we can lay, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to be our foundation. He's got to be our beginning, our middle, and our end. So there's nothing we can do this year that we will be able to say, I'm going to have absolute success unless Jesus Christ is the foundation. We can do nothing in Christ unless Jesus Christ is the foundation. Now, what has that got to do with Jesus being the restorer of dreams? Well, I want to tell you, some of us probably said of 2017, I'm glad that year's gone. Who can say I'm glad that year's over? Some of us went through rough things last year. Amen. Some of us think, what about the years before that? God blessed us with many years. He's blessed us with years. And there are many blessings. But sometimes we're glad that that year's gone. But I want to tell you this morning, as I was praying and as I was seeking the Lord for a message, and there were a lot of things I could have spoken about, these words came into my mind. Jesus, restorer of dreams. I want to encourage you. I want you to start this year. I believe it's a message from the Lord, knowing that Jesus wants to bring restoration to your dreams. We prayed for people here this morning that needed freedom, that needed a touch from the Lord. Jesus wants to bring restoration in your life. How better way to start the year than to be reminded about the fact that Jesus cares and he wants to bring restoration, not just to your dreams, but to your health, to your relationships, to your finances, to your walk with him. When we are young, we don't plan for our lives to be a failure. We look to the future with great expectation. How many of us, if you ask children today, my wife's a teacher, there's many of you in the church that are teachers, or parents, or uncles, aunties, if you ask a child, what do you want to do with your life? Some of them will say, I want to be a nurse, or a doctor, or I want to be a pilot, or I want to be rich, or whatever. You never hear a child saying, I want to be retrenched. And I want to spend my life sick. Amen? People don't have those kind of dreams. Dreams are positive things. Our God, Jesus, our Lord, is the God of abundance. He's the God of abundance. John 10:10, the enemy came to rob, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life, and that in abundance. He wants us to have dreams. He wants us to have hope for a future. Even adults can have great dreams. Not just about being a nurse or a teacher or whatever, but we have a dream to have a successful career, to have a happy family life, to have a good marriage, for our children to serve the Lord and not drift away. We have a dream to have a comfortable retirement and not have to struggle in our... Come on, who doesn't identify with that? Is there anybody who can't identify with that this morning? Who doesn't have a dream here? Surely there are things in your life that you are hoping for, that you're wanting to take place, things that you're looking forward to happening in your life. Isn't that a dream? Sadly, life happens. And things like retrenchment do take place. And things like homelessness do take place. And sickness comes. And marriages fall apart. It's the world we live in. It's a world where the enemy is still the God of this earth, the God of this world. But I want to tell you, there's a king who reigns in heaven. And he's the creator of heaven and earth. And he overcame on the cross. And he made a fool of the devil and his plans. So your dreams can be restored. How many of you have given up on your dreams? How many of you have said, well, I had dreams once? How many of you have got into a rut? Should I say, how many of us have got into a rut? Focusing on those God-given dreams. And I will say that many of our dreams are God-given. You know, when it goes beyond me, then it's something that comes from somebody that's greater than me. And in the Christian context, that's Jesus Christ. That's our Father, God. And that's His Holy Spirit living in us. So I've got a very simple message this morning about dreams. My first point is, what causes lost dreams? If you were to ask yourself, what has caused me to lose my dream? What has caused me to lose focus on my dream? Well, I've got five simple points. There are probably many more. The first one is time. As time passes and our dream doesn't come to pass, it's easy to give up on our dreams. How many of us here this morning can say, I've given up on my dream because it's so long since I had that dream and it hasn't happened, so, well, it's probably never going to happen. Time can be a great stealer of dreams. What about our circumstances? We planned to have this successful career. We planned to go to university and study and get a degree and become a major academic. But the money was just not there. And I couldn't go to university. And so instead of going to university, you had to go and work in a shop and earn a smaller salary. So it was never possible for you to achieve that dream. That's a circumstance. How many of you plan to become sick? And sickness and tiredness and bad health has prevented you from achieving your dream. There's many things that can happen in our lives. Circumstances that have a negative influence on our dreams. And then, of course, one of the big things in our lives is the choices we make. What about our choices? Certain choices we make definitely impact our dreams. And I would like to say to you this morning in the Christian context, our choices about our relationship with Jesus Christ will have an impact on our dreams. Because Jesus is the one through whom all things will prosper. Our life will be prosperous. Our life will be blessed. It will be full of favor when Jesus is our Lord. What was the scripture this morning? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all things. He will take care of everything, but we must seek Him first. The fourth thing that can impact our dreams is sin. Sin is a great tool of the enemy, and he will use sin to rob you of your dreams. He will use guilt and shame caused by sin to tell you you can't do what God has given you to do. Can I hear an amen? And then finally, my final point here is unbelief. What about unbelief and lack of faith? If I don't have faith enough to believe, then how on earth will I achieve my dreams? There's a saying, and I often mention it here, if your dream is not too big for you, then God can't be in it. Because it's only when it's too big for me that I need faith. When it's not too big for me, then I can do it myself. But we need a dream that is powerful enough that we need to trust God. And that takes faith. And what about the fact that we have enough faith to start, to set out on having a dream, but then we don't have enough faith to see it through? That's called unbelief. Because I'm not trusting God enough to do it for me. So those are the areas where we can be robbed of dreams. There are probably many more examples. But I've got good news for you this morning. Because I didn't really want to preach about dreams. I wanted to preach about Jesus Christ. I wanted to preach the gospel. I wanted to preach about the fact that He came to free us from our sins. I want to tell you that in not one of these areas that I've mentioned can Jesus not make a difference and restore your dream. That's why the Lord gave me this message for today. Let's have a look at it again, quickly. The time when our dreams take time to come to pass and we give up on them, do you know what we've done? We've lost sight of the nature of God. If you give up on your dream because of time that has passed, you've lost sight of the nature of God. Why? Because God spans space and time. He's not limited time to time like you and I are. He passes through space and time. He sacrificed on the cross to the Lord. It's like it happened yesterday. What does the Word of God say? To the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So to God, that long-awaited dream that we've been waiting for is just a speck in time. He says, yeah, it's on my agenda. It just hasn't happened yet. If you've given up on your dream because of time, do you know that Jesus himself, that was God's dream for mankind, was limited to a space and time? 2 Peter 3 verse 8 says this, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And then it goes on in Galatians 4 verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. God sent forth Jesus in the fullness of his time. So even God's dream for mankind, salvation for mankind, was subject to time. Imagine if mankind, imagine if God said, ugh, it's just taking too long. And he said, I'm not going to send my Son. None of us would be here today. If you give up on your dream today, who knows if it wouldn't have happened tomorrow? Who knows if it's not going to happen in 10 minutes' time? Don't give up on your dream. Jesus wants us to know that he's the restorer of our dreams. Likewise, in the fullness of time, God will fulfill our dream. When the right time comes, Ecclesiastes 3:11, I love the scripture. He has made all things beautiful in his time. If you've got a dream, if you've got something that you've longed for your whole life long, if you've got something that has driven you and it's slowly faded, remember that Jesus, oh, Father God, has got a perfect time for your dream to come to pass. He's got a perfect time for it, the fullness of time. And when that perfect time comes, that will be beautiful. Let me give you an example. He told Abraham, you'll be the father of many nations, didn't he? So Abraham waited, and he waited, and he waited, and he was 100, and he was still waiting. And his wife said to him, listen, I'm too old, you old, go and use Hagar, my servant girl, or my slave. Didn't he say that? And so they did. Was that beautiful? Child was probably beautiful. The little one I held in my arms this morning was beautiful. But what happened? Abraham decided he would do God's work. He would do God's work. Him and Sarah, they made a plan, and instead of the promised child coming, they made a child. And that child was Ishmael. And today we struggle with ISIS and Islam and all of the problems. Many of the problems the world faces today is because of that decision of one man and his wife that chose not to wait on God. If he'd waited for God's perfect timing, Islam would not have existed today. Amen? Because that's where Islam comes from. Ishmael was the beginning of Islam. So what about your life? Are you rushing God? Are you about to go and spend money to buy that dream home that God promised you that he would give to you? I'm just using a stupid example. Are you about to go and make a strange decision? You know, in my own life, I knew that I'd been called to be a pastor. And I worked, and I worked, and I worked, and I got frustrated. And I waited on God, and I got frustrated, and I wanted to run away. But in the fullness of time, God allowed things to line up. And it became a success. Amen? I can testify that myself. If I had tried to move before the right time, it would have been an absolute disaster. You've got to wait on the Lord. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you've got a dream you've given up on because of the time that's passed, give it to the Lord Jesus this morning. Say, Lord, restore my dream. Restore that hope. Maybe you've got a business you want to start. Maybe you've got something you want to do for the Lord. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's something else you want to do. And you've just given up on it. Maybe age has come, sickness has come, poverty has come. Wait. Wait on the Lord. In his perfect time, he'll bring restoration. Circumstances. I spoke about sickness. I spoke about poverty. I spoke about unemployment. These are things that happen. Sometimes they happen because they are our own fault. But generally, a circumstance is something that's out of your hands. Something happens that's not your fault. A few months ago, we had that tornado that came through. And you know, the church, the school, that roof got blown off and the church was damaged. I shared with you that we got a couple in the church that lives just down the road there. And their house was badly damaged. Did they do anything to deserve that? They had plans. They had dreams. Everything was put on hold because now they've got to get their house fixed first. Did they ask for it? No. Circumstances are not something you ask for. Things that just happen. But in the midst of your circumstances, you need faith. Don't give up on your dreams because of your circumstances. The greatest example in the Bible about circumstances is Job. He asked God questions. Everything was going right. He had lovely children. He had animals. He had wealth. He had property. He had health. And all of a sudden, in the matter of a short period of time, he lost absolutely everything. Even his health was gone. And he asked God questions. We can ask God questions. But he never gave up on God. And there was a day when the restorer of dreams visited Job. And in Job 42, verse 12 to 16, it says this. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels. I wonder if we had that today, what would we do with them? 6,000 camels. You better have lots of water. Don't send them to Cape Town. 1,000 yoke of oxen. 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima. I won't go through all the names. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. In other words, all his wealth was restored. And Job, after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. What is so important about that? Why did I mention that? Why is that last bit that he lived for so long afterwards? Because his health was restored. He was sick. His wife said, curse God and die. God didn't only restore his wealth. He didn't only give him children. But he restored his health so that he lived a long, long time. Job had a dream to be restored. And God was the restorer of Job's dreams. Have we been questioning God about our circumstances? Is there a why in the way of our dreams? Is there a why getting in the way of your dream? Why, Lord, why? Why isn't this happening? Why? Or can we say like Job, from Job 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do you trust Jesus? Do you trust your Father? He sent his Son. We sensed his presence here this morning. He was with us. He's here with us right now. He says, I'll restore your dream. What about sin? When sin robs us of our dreams. Time and again, the Israelites just messed up. They got dragged into captivity. They were plucked out of their promised land, which was their dream. They dreamed of a promised land that God had promised them. Time and again, sin took them out of the promised land. But they dreamed. They dreamed to go back there. They dreamed to be reestablished. They dreamed to be in the place where they would worship God in the temple. You can go and read about it in the prophetic books. But even in the midst of one of those circumstances, God gave them hope again. He said, I'll restore your dream. Isaiah 61, it's one of my favorites. The people here this morning that God is giving this word to. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Who needs to hear good tidings? Poor people? People who got no money? No, people who are poor in spirit. People who are they don't have a relationship with God. Their relationship with God is damaged. They were once rich, but now they're poor. Or maybe they've never known him, so they've always been poor. The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings. What's good tidings? Salvation. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives. Those who are bound by what? Sin. Opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, not just those who mourn for the lost ones, but those who mourn over what they've lost because of their sin, those who mourn about their spiritual state. You can go and read about it in the Beatitudes in the New Testament if you want to. the day, to console those who mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know what happens when you sin? The enemy comes and he brings guilt and shame. It's a spirit of heaviness. You battle to break out of that thing. It's a spiritual thing. But God wants to restore your dreams. He wants, you say, but I've been called to be, my dream is to work in God's kingdom. And the enemy says, yeah, but you're a dirty sinner. Jesus said, no, I'll come and restore your dream. I will come and wash you clean. I will break the bondage of sin over your life. I will make you free. I'll restore your dream. Who's got a dream to work in God's kingdom? Maybe, you see all the hands that went up here this morning. Have you still got that dream? Was the enemy robbed you? Have you said, I'm not good enough? You're good enough. How can I say that? Well, the scripture goes on to say, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called what? Trees of righteousness. That's why the scripture relates to an area where you've slipped, where you've been in sin. Why would God need to restore you to a place of righteousness? It's because you've fallen from that place of righteousness. The planting of the Lord that He may be glorified. In Christ Jesus, our sins are forgiven. We sang about it this morning. When we mourn over our sins and come with a heart of repentance, then this prophecy about Jesus becomes a reality. It says that we will become trees of righteousness. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we have confessed our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to restore us to righteousness. Isn't that what it says? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And with restoration of righteousness comes restoration of dreams. If we carry on in Isaiah 61, it says, and they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. What were the old ruins? What were the former desolations and the ruined cities? It was Jerusalem. It was the promised land. It was their dream. God said, I will restore it. I will rebuild it. I will pour out. And what was the other promise they got? It's a promise we have as a church. The latter glory shall be greater than that of the former. Jesus is the restorer of your dreams. Even if you've fallen into sin, all you need to do is confess. And you say, Lord, I've sinned. Please forgive me. Come with a genuine repentant heart. And He will restore not only your righteousness, but He'll restore your dreams. Who would like their dreams restored this morning? Amen. God wants to bring restorations. So if sin has crept in your life, and the enemy has been robbing you, and bringing guilt upon you, just confess. It's as simple as that. Say, Lord, please forgive me. Allow Jesus to break those chains of bondage. You know what He wants to do? He wants to take the ashes of your life and restore the beauty. He wants to place upon you a robe of righteousness. Who would like to wear a robe of righteousness this morning? There's people here, they've been carrying, I go prophetic. There are people here this morning that have been carrying a weight of guilt for years. It has prevented you from walking successfully as a child of God. You've lost your self-image. You feel less than nothing. You feel that you don't have a testimony. You feel that your sin is so great that you don't have a testimony. You don't dare speak to people about Jesus because of your sin. It's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil. God wants to bring restoration. He wants you to be a witness. He wants you to witness like never before. Take that this morning. Take that encouragement from the Lord. Lift your head up. You're a child of God. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all sin and all unrighteousness. You are free. And you have a witness. How shall we overcome? What does it say in Revelation? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's your dream. Let the Lord restore that dream of testifying about Him. And then faithlessness and unbelief. They're dream stealers. They will rob you of your dream. Jesus' disciple Thomas had his faith shattered. He saw his Messiah get killed on the cross. And all of his dream of the Messiah, the Jewish dream of having Messiah, it all crumbled at his feet. He lost all of his hope. He'd given up everything. He had chosen to give up everything, to turn his back on the old life and follow Jesus. Yes, we don't hear that about Thomas, but he was one of the disciples. The disciples gave up everything and they followed him. That's why they became the apostles. And Thomas, if you go into church history, if you go and read in the history books, he eventually died a martyr's death. So his hope was restored. His hope in the Messiah was restored. But he first had to have a meeting with Jesus. He first had to have an experience where he said, "Let me put my hand in your side. Let me feel the wound. I saw them doing it to him." And when he did it, Jesus said to him, "Do not be unbelieving, but be believing." And immediately Thomas answered with these words, "My Lord and my God." Jesus restored Thomas's dream, the dream of the Messiah. What is your dream that you've lost because of unbelief, where you haven't had enough faith to trust God? God says, "Have faith in me." Mark 11:22. "Have faith in me." That's what it says. We need to have faith. Don't allow lack of faith rob you of your dream. And all it takes is a simple confession. "Lord Jesus, I am weak in my faith. Give me the faith to believe." That's all it takes. I told you, Jesus is the answer to restoring your dream. If you don't have enough faith. In James 1 verse 5 to 8, it says this: "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives him to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." You need faith to ask, and it will be given to you. "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." Let not that man think he will attain his dream. "For he's a double-minded man and unstable in all of his ways." So don't let unbelief and lack of faith rob you of your dream. I'll conclude with this. My conclusion's a bit long, but I'll warn you now. Joel 2 verse 25, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." I will restore to you, Jesus, the restorer of dreams, says, "I will bring restoration to your life." Kenneth Hagin said this in speaking on the same subject: "Some of you have been down with a lot of worms in your life. In other words, the worms have been chewing away, or the locusts, as it says in other translations. Some of you have lost years to a bad marriage. Some of you have lost years to health problems. But the Lord put something in my heart," he said. "My mercy is greater than your mistakes, and I am a master at fixing any disaster." God loves us that much, whether we've done things that are our own fault, or whether it is the enemy who has stolen from us. God is still the restorer. So let me conclude with this. Whether it is time, the time it's taken to wait for our dream, circumstances, the things that are out of our control, choices we have made, sin, or faithlessness and unbelief, that doesn't really matter. What matters today is that Jesus Christ has told us that he's the restorer of our dreams. And he wants to restore your dream and my dream today. What is your dream? Have you got a dream? Maybe you need to go home and say, "Lord, show me. Is there a dream? Did I have a dream? Have I forgotten what my dream was? What is your God-given dream for my life?" We need to go home and ask the Lord to show us those things. And then we need to say, "Lord, will you restore our dream?" We need to start 2018 positively. We need to start 2018 with hope. We need to start 2018 looking forward to a future. If you look around in this country, things fell apart last year. But right at the end of the year, I think we got a Christmas gift. Things started coming right. Things started to change. Amen? Can you say amen? Can we still have a hope and a dream for this country to be the great country it's meant to be? Surely we should. Come on, church. We serve the King of Kings. He can turn this place around just like that. And he can use you to do it. But he can't use people who have got no hope and no dream and no future and no vision. He needs people with a dream, with a future, with a hope. People who know who they are. And people who are going to trust him and become mighty and achieve mighty things in his name. Are you willing to do that today? I want you to stand with me. I'm not going to have an altar call now because I had one earlier.